I'll start with myself. My name is Curtis Wells, Chairman of the CIB, representing rural Utah. Mayor Baker.
Mayor Baker, representing you.
Thank you, Mayor Baker. Commissioner Bartholomew.
Commissioner Bartholomew, Sam Peake County Commissioner, representing Sixth County ALG.
Thank you. Commissioner Taylor.
Yes, Commissioner Jerry Taylor, Garfield County, representing Five County ALG.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Miles.
Miles, representing Duchesne County.
All right, let's have Margaritaville, Jack Lytle, please.
Commissioner Jack Lytle from Daggett County, representing you in the basin, AOG.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chairman Zanotti.
Nagy Zanotti, good morning, and representing UDOT Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. And Commissioner Adams.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Hansen.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Hansen, I am representing the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown.
Commissioner Ralph Brown, representing Sevier County, waiting confirmation, so unable to vote today.
All right. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the board, Commissioner. It's good to see you. Treasurer Slaw.
Kurt Slaw, Chief Deputy State Treasurer and the designee of the State Treasurer on the board.
Thank you, sir. So up next, we have, if I'm not missing anyone, we have an optional discussion of the CIB interest rate, which is a follow-up item from a discussion from the last meeting. Is there interest from the board in engaging in this discussion this morning? And if so, please feel free to lead us off.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
May I have you just a 1 minute? I have been talking to some of the commissioners, mayors, city managers, and the public work directors regarding the possible reduction in the number of the applications coming before CIB. And one of the major concerns that was just that high interest rates preventing from those small communities come before CIB asking for money and help. So maybe I would request kindly if we can table this until further we can get some more information to see if really what is the reason behind this reduction of the number of the applications, because there are a lot of projects in those communities to be done. Surely we haven't finished any of those projects, but unfortunately they feel that they don't have opportunity to come back and get the competing rates from the state compared to the market. That's my evaluation from last 3 months that I've been talking to people.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's an interesting point, Nagy. Do we have any data that shows kind of historically how many applications have come in versus now? It feels a little anecdotal to me, and I'd be curious just to see the numbers behind that.
We used to get up to 14 projects every cycle, and now we're getting only 4 and 5 for the last 3 months. Of course, if you remember, the candidates even canceled some of the meetings because we didn't have the applications at all, or combined them for the next month. So that is the information I've received. Yes, we used to have 14, 15 applications every cycle.
Mayor Baker, please.
I was going to ask, with this discussion beyond there, where are we at with this? I did notice one on the agenda that there was one that could end up to 3.5 possibility, but airing off the small towns because they know they can't take that type of a loan. That's there mainly for those that want to come in and get it all in loan and or just using the CIB because they can get a better rate than through other means on it. And I don't think you're going to scare off the small communities at all, because we realize, and it's that discretion we want to give them, and the tools also is not going to bop them up to 3.5. But I think it was an option we wanted to have to us, but I don't think it. So are we just in for a discussion today, or what was the thing on it?
Just a discussion. Yeah, just an open discussion item.
Okay.
That was my understanding as well, as we were just increasing the maximum rate, which would apply to only those that we felt could pay it and were like the least deserving in terms of coming before CIB, I guess you could say. And so having that flexibility, I think, helps reset expectations for everybody else on what rate they would get. But certainly, I think the board still retains the ability to grant whatever rate we feel is in the best interest of the applicant and what CIB can afford. So that was my understanding. It wasn't raising the rates on everybody. It was only raising the maximum rate on certain applicants, I guess. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Chairman Zanotti, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Understanding from the CIB, the mandate of CIB was just get the communities that they cannot get help otherwise from the local banks, the public banks, and financial institutions. Based on information that Kurt Islau provided last month, the market rate right now, if somebody wants to borrow, was a 3.125, if you remember right. So we would like to make sure we are at least in the competitive rate so we can attract those people, get the money out of our books. Because when I was watching the bills through the legislature in Utah, one or two people were interested to use our money for some other project in the state. Don't want to have money accumulated in our books, so we will attract other people that they can just use it, and they have done it in the past. If you remember, a few years ago, UDOT came and borrowed, not borrowed, but took the money that we had there for the purpose. Of course, we paid it back, but I don't want to have the money accumulated in our accounts to the point that people come back from the other departments and other agencies to use it rather than us using it for those communities that deserve to have projects to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Powers, did you have a, I saw your hand was raised. Do you have a comment? Seeing none, unless you are muted, Ms. Powers.
No? Yeah.
That's back on the feedback.
I can see you. I can't hear you, Ms. Powers. Give her a moment. I see Paul there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
That's unfortunate. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going to create kind of a backfeed here because I'm in with the gentleman. But what I was going to say is that what we discussed last time was that the interest rate for the state to get was 3.3 something. We were just going to raise the highest rate. And the board can always determine a different interest rate. We just need a little, what was discussed was we just need a little broader scope or range. That's it.
Okay. Any additional comments on this discussion item?
I'd like to. From my understanding, I want to see if I remember being correct, is by putting an interest rate
think I read it on.
Keep going. You're good. It's my end, I think.
By upping the interest rate, it allows us the flexibility to truly work as intended when it comes to all of the different exemptions or not. As we consider projects using the tool and independently for communities or projects that don't necessarily show, that don't meet up with the exemptions, then their interest rate would be closer to market. If they, you know, when you go to hardship and all the different things, or the communities based on tool, all of the inputs from the tool or assumptions in the tool would
bring down that interest rate appropriately or bring it up. And so I think it just increases the range. It doesn't necessarily mean that the communities that need a low interest rate based on any of those good justifications would necessarily pay a price by having the opportunity to have the entire interest rate inside our bailiwick. But right now we're limited at a level that's well below the current market. I don't know if I made sense to me, but I'm trying to say that we need that range for some projects. My understanding, it should not penalize or hurt the communities that still need the lower interest rate or the projects that still need the lower interest rate. I'll stop there and see if it made sense to anybody.
Yeah, no, thank you for those comments, Commissioner. Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like Commissioner Lytle's comments there. I think having a little bit more flexibility just in the range to be able to tailor the rates that we give to communities based on their situation can't hurt anything. The other comment that I was going to make is that borrowing money is just more expensive right now for everybody, too. And I know it's nice to be able to use this fund to be able to take care of the communities that really wouldn't be able to access funding otherwise. But given the fact that our funding is limited, and in order to kind of keep it revolving, edging up just a little bit feels prudent to me, just given the financial landscape that everybody is operating within right now.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Mayor Baker.
Well, I just jumping back in here, but that's exactly what Jack and Laura said is where we're at with that. It's just it gives us an opportunity if we want to go up, not holding us down, and I don't will be impacted by any means on it.
Okay. Any other comments on this discussion item before we move on? Seeing none, moving on to item 2 on the agenda, upcoming meeting dates, April 6, 2023 in Salt Lake City, assuming that date still works well for everyone. Any objections to our next meeting on April 6th?
I will not be here. I'll be out of town that week. But
okay.
Miss you. Go on without me.
We'll miss you.
Give somebody a hard time for me, will you?
Okay, sounds good. Kurt, appreciate that. So up next, I'm going to turn it over to staff for the financial review.
You and I apologize for the feedback that you may get. This is the first review meeting of the third trimester of fiscal year 2023, and one of the things that I was going to mention as far as the number of applications we've received is that we've received 14 to 16 each trimester. That's down, as is said, from about 30, which can be accommodated in two meetings. If we had received more applications, we would have three meetings. So in regard to Mr. Zanotti's comments, we're not that far down, but affordability is truly a factor. But that's the board's discretion. If what you have on your screen right now is the project funding list, it shows everything that we're going to discuss today in yellow. It's highlighted, and it is in the packet. We've got five projects to discuss and two supplemental requests on this agenda. The available revenue in the mineral lease account is about $17 million, and that was as of 2/15/23. The available revenue in the bonus fund is only $7,504,636 as of February 15th. So that's a total revenue in both funds of about $24,008,000. There are $14,594,000 grant requests, and there are $51,301,000 loan requests. So there are larger loan requests. People are coming in requesting loans, which is good, and the larger requests will be on the April meeting. So the total funding request would be $63 million. As you can see, there are some decisions that the board will be tasked with making. So when you're looking at the funding and the funding tool and the location, because we're supposed to do the most good for the most citizens of the state of Utah, but with priority given to those impacted by mineral lease revenue or extraction. So other than the supplemental funding request, funding for these projects and these new projects will be final funded in June. So don't suspend and fund anything unless it's an absolute emergency. And by June, there will be additional revenue. And at that time, you will determine if we have sufficient revenue to fund the applications we've received. The board may deny applications if there can be funding accommodated in other sources. But your job as a board is to look at the applications on their merit and look at the entities on their need and make judicious decisions. And there's nothing we can do about how the revenue comes in, but if it's all out there, put in going to work in rural Utah, that's great. Anyway, that's the status.
That's the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Treasurer Slaw, please.
Yeah, thank you. Are you unmuted now? Can they hear me? Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yes.
The question, Candace, is, so what do we expect to come in between now and the next funding meeting? In terms of like loan repayments, I know you have a hard time estimating like mineral lease payments that are coming in between now and the next funding meeting, but obviously we're kind of at the point where we've got to make some hard decisions because there's not enough to fund everything today. So I'm trying to understand how much we truly have to work with if you account for what we expect before the next funding meeting.
The best projection I can make, because it fluctuates, I did a little recap of the revenue that was coming in that was new. And in December, we got $15 million. It didn't all go to CIB, but it was dispersed. And then it dropped down to $8 million. And it has been doing that where it's just a little bit of a roller coaster. As far as the loan repayments, they happen. They're an annual payment. And we've tried to project what would happen before June, but that's difficult to do. Until June, there really isn't any way to project, but we will at least have $10 million more. There are applications on this that could possibly be phased. That's a discussion to have. DWS Finance has been working on some numbers and some projections, but it wasn't ready for today because there is a lot of moving pieces and parts in this projection. They are working on it. I don't have the numbers. So I did my own.
Shouldn't be that difficult, right? Because there's a set schedule and you just have to say, okay, these payments are due. And so I don't know what the, like what the issue is.
Okay. Yeah. By April's meeting, they will have numbers. So the point is you discuss the projects. Are they good projects? You decide what you would fund them as if you had an unlimited bank account. The entity and the projects, because that's the way you need to review meeting or applications. Then when you get, because CIB was set up as a trimester so that you would review them on the project's merits and on the entity's location and need and those items. Then when you get to the funding meeting, because you don't fund anything now, you just act like what you're going to approve it as if you had an unlimited bank account. There will be numbers, and you will know how much you have to work with at the funding meeting. But at April's meeting, we will have a ballpark. We have been in discussions with DWS Finance, and they are working on it. They haven't dropped the ball, but there were issues.
To your comment, is and Candace's, at least the way over the last number of years being on the board, today's deal is more in terms of review, and I'm going to see if uncharacteristically succinct would be this one. It's based on the merit by itself. Is it a good project or not? And then on the funding meeting, then we're comparing it to the other projects and having to figure out who gets the money.
Right.
And exactly. To your point, hopefully, because everybody's on a different repayment schedule, correct? That's paying back loans.
Yeah.
Every month is a different month. So hopefully, to your point, we can find out what that expected revenue is month to month. We ought to be able to figure that out, right? Or at least get the database in a place where that could be more easily retrievable. Is that what you're shooting for in April? Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But they didn't see my head nod.
Okay. That's good. I would like the flexibility, I guess, to be able to, like, negotiate, like we're saying, okay, these are all great projects. Can we get somebody down to phase one or something and, you know exactly what we're doing? Because I think when you get to the funding meeting, there's not necessarily time to renegotiate every single deal so that everybody gets a piece of money. And so I don't know. I would like to know that up front, what we're dealing with in terms of money rather than just saying, okay, we have unlimited money, and then we'll prioritize it at a funding meeting because there might be some steps that we could take along the way to make it possible to fund more projects, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, guys, we got to get back to raising our hands so we can have order here because I'm
sorry.
If we start having a free-for-all in the room, and then the people that are on virtually are going to get lost out. So go ahead, Commissioner Lytle, and then I'll turn it over to Ms. Hansen.
So I agree, because if we were to go strictly by the numbers, I agree with the treasurer's office. If we were to go strictly with the balance sheet, we shouldn't be considering any projects till it gets black, because it would be very difficult to anticipate what's the best deal for the right people with the available funding.
Right.
So to mitigate that, having some discussion right now, recognizing that we're not flush by any means, it makes sense. And having all the information in one place to know what we could at least expect within reason or boundaries, it would be very helpful. Yeah, I hear that. Thank you, Chair.
You bet. Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate and agree with the comments that have been shared. And I think a challenge that I've had, granted I'm relatively new to this board, but something that I've wrestled with a lot in my time here is negotiating the grant versus loan and interest rates at this point, and then getting to the funding meeting where we're actually deciding how much money we have, what to fund at that point. It feels like we have the cart ahead of the horse a little bit. And my personal preference, it makes the funding meeting a little bit more discussion oriented. But my personal preference would be, yes, we think this is a good project. Let's prioritize it. But that's not necessarily negotiate the terms of the award until we actually get to that funding meeting. I recognize that that's a diversion from the way things have been done in the past, but I think we're maybe entering a new era where we don't always have the money to pay for every project that comes before us, and it's tough to make decisions without all the information ahead of us.
Thank you for that. Mayor Baker and then Ms. Powers.
Okay. In this discussion, one of the things, and we talked about that interest rate, we've been having entities come in that could go elsewhere because they can get a better rate from us, and that they're big loans. So we're issuing them to these big loans and at a good rate for them. And if we had told them they had to get a little higher interest rate, they may go somewhere else and leave that money available for the smaller communities and those that are impacted. Just a thought.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Powers, please.
Thank you. I want to clarify, if I might, that the board will, the fund will never go in the red. The red numbers you see are projections in and of themselves. I'm supportive of a perhaps discouraging those from non-impacted areas, which we could, not to pick on St. George, but one of the larger projects this trimester is for a St. George City Hall at $20 million. Now, they have options. So that is the kind of thing that this board should determine. I hate to think that, and it's just me, staff, if I was an entity coming, I would come and have the review and the discussion at the review meeting, but then it was on the priority list and I have gone back now and determined if I can afford it or not or can look elsewhere. So I know that the board is concerned with the fiscal responsibility they're tasked with, but they should be more concerned in the discussion of the good projects. It's not my money and I don't get to vote, but I will make sure that this fund never is underwater. So we'll give you all that. But I would, I like the way it has been working, that you have three review meetings, you review, you discuss, you determine the project on merit, and then you can deny or put on the pending list or request they go elsewhere at the funding meeting. So anyway, that's the way it can historically has happened.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Treasurer Slaw.
Thank you. So just a couple of comments to Laura's comment on kind of leaving the terms and the negotiation to the funding meeting. I do think that that would be the best way to get to be able to determine and be the most fair, since we're not dealing with projections and we really don't know how much money we have until we get there. However, I do worry that that would make that meeting really, really long. We'd have to like carve out a whole day that day because that would require a lot of discussion. So anyway, that's my only concern is, you know, I do think it would be a better way to go from a decision standpoint, but from a time standpoint, I think it would be kind of hard and not very feasible, but that's just my thoughts. And then I guess the other thing that I wanted to mention is I know, Candace, in discussions that we have a whole lot of projects that we fund up front, and then they don't draw sometimes for several years, right? So in terms of the amount of money that CIB really has, it's a lot more than what we're showing here because we've committed and there's a lot of projects that are stalled. And so one of my concerns is because CIB is getting low in new money, we're getting all sorts of projects that are jumping the gun and coming in early before they're ready to deploy. And we're not properly waiting or vetting those projects out and telling them to wait in line for their money. And so we're getting a whole lot of projects that tie up the money so that they're sure they have it, but then they're not actually ready to deploy it yet in a shovel ready project, so to speak. So anyway, there's that issue that I think the board needs to figure out how to deal with as well. So.
Thank you. Commissioner Lytle, did you have a comment, sir?
I'm good. The comment I was wanting to hear as much from Commissioner Adams, where he's been on the board for a while, just kind of not if you want to or not. I'm not putting you on the spot that way, but your longevity on the board, this seems like a little bit of a different place than the board has been in until recent history, and just wondered if you had any thoughts.
Sure. My thoughts are this. I guess I didn't realize that we had projects that had been authorized for funding that had not drawn on the money for several years. So maybe one of the things we ought to do is put a time limit on it. You don't start it within a year, it's done, you're done. Or something of that sort, so that we don't have that money tied up for, for 2 or 3 years. I agree with Candace that we have funded projects to communities that maybe could get funding someplace else, big projects that really don't have the impacts. I mean, I guess, maybe I think they don't have, but they obviously think that they do have the impacts. I didn't realize that we had a limit on the upper end of interest rates. We just said that 2.5. Oh, the tool does that. Yeah, I always felt like we could offer an interest rate at whatever level the board determined. In fact, I remember back, we've had several meetings where we've said the interest rates from banks had gone up, so we're going to fund our projects at a higher interest rate, and then we get in the meeting and give them 0.5% interest or something. And Kurt said this many times, we've been real inconsistent with what we had talked about 1 minute, and then 10 minutes later, we do just the opposite of what we've talked about. So that's my thought.
Yeah. Could Mr. Chair, could I respond just quick? Since I, from a disclosure standpoint, I know our county has one of those projects that we thought we would have on the ground sooner than we have in Dutch John. And sometimes I know that we weren't trying to get the money to hold it, but there's been more trouble trying to figure out the bond issue with the way we approached it versus the way it needs to be with. As an example, I'm not trying to make a selling point one way or the other, but if there's people that are just trying to get a hold of the money and then aren't as prepared as they should be, and maybe Dutch John falls into that, I tend to think not necessarily, but at the same time, it's arguable. I do think that pressure has to be there, that you don't just get to grab the money and hold on to it and then get everything in order that should be in order. Right. And it deserves the conversation at least. And then there may be extenuating circumstances that support what and how everything's happening on the timeline. But I'd be hesitant to say that we just have a deadline if you can't put it on the ground in a year, but you didn't find out till you got approved that there was something that wasn't according to oil, it at least ought to be come up for review and say, okay, where are we at and what's your expected deadline now to get the money on the ground? But if there's money that can be rolled back into the fund and it makes sense, then we should be discussing
this money churning.
Really. There is a policy with that.
Okay, let's comment from Commissioner Miles and then Commissioner Taylor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to make the point that, you know, these projects need to be shovel ready when they come to us. And if an entity hasn't done their due diligence and found out if they own the property where they're going to build or whatever the case, those questions should be answered before they come before the board, ask for money. And the other comment that I would make is, you know, this money isn't magic. We know where it comes from. It comes from the extractive industry. And you can't wake up tomorrow and pretend the Walmart is a Walmart. And because of the social cost of carbon and ESG, I hope people realize where this money comes from. And your support as citizens of this state and recognizing that is important to how the funding goes moving forward. That's all.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, that's what my thoughts were, and Greg got the first shot at it, but we need these projects to be shovel ready and they be prepared. I noticed a lot of them that we've looked at stuff aren't quite shovel ready, and then when they finally go out to bid and come back, then all of a sudden they're back before CIB asking for more money, and it just puts a strain on us, I believe. And to complete Greg Miles, what he was stating is, if you're against extraction, if your community's against extraction, I would ask you to look at other places to get your money rather than come to the CIB where this money is, it comes from extraction. So, just thoughts.
Yeah, thank you for those comments. I think, you know, oftentimes what these communities and subdivisions get into is they don't want to begin incurring soft costs before they understand that they have funding. And I think, you know, while that's understandable, I appreciate the comments, you know, from Commissioner Miles and Taylor, and that this is, you know, this is serious business. And that, you know, I think that's how you show the CIB board that you are serious and that it's a serious project, is by bringing us a true turnkey project. So I think those are good comments, and I concur completely. Treasurer Slaw, you've got another comment, or your hand still raised?
Right. Sorry, I'm getting some whisper comments here. I'm trying to pay attention. Okay, well, yeah, thanks. I agree with all of these comments. You know, a couple of thoughts that I had. So I would like to see the tool build in a lot more emphasis on shovel readiness and make that a lot more apparent to the board members where they are in the process and when they expect to start expending on the project, so that we can consider that when reviewing applications. In terms of incurring soft dollar costs, I would say if there's a way that we could commit, you know, a minimal amount to allow them to move forward with engineering or whatever, without having to tie up the complete amount, you know, I would definitely want to consider that at this point, because like I say, I just want to keep this money churning. And when we tie up so much money that doesn't go out for several years. And the third thing I would say is, if we're going to wait that, like, there should be a repercussion for entities that tell you they're shovel ready and then they delay a significant amount of time. That should impact their score in getting funding for CIB this next time around, right? So we need to put some teeth in the way that we do this. Otherwise, there's every incentive to come prematurely to CIB and get your money as early as possible. And so what I would say is, we want to make sure that we're incentivizing them properly to come at the right time and not to come too early. And I think we need to figure out how to build that into the tool, such that they know if they come too early, it's going to penalize them the next time they come. So just a thought.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Taylor?
Yeah, yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing I think we need to look at, too, is I want to help as many communities as I can, but I think we need to look at wants and needs as well. Is this something that, I mean, we'd love to build a Taj Mahal for every community, but sometimes to look at wants and needs. So that's my comment. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate that. Commissioner Lytle.
So it's interesting that Mr. Slaw brought that up. We had a conversation in our own county as we go forward, recognizing we have a project that may be considered an example. What's hanging us up on the one project is getting the bond stuff. We thought we had a good route to go, and we're having to reevaluate and re-put it together. We're certainly not holding back trying to get it done. But the conversation we just had in terms of future projects, we don't have enough set aside right now for, I guess, what is being called soft money, the engineering, good bids, or as good as you can get it in this climate right now. But to get it engineered well for a health center in Daggett County, a clinic. But the conversation was, do we ask for all of it at the beginning, right to your point? Or do we ask for the smaller amount that may be up to $100,000 even, yeah, to get the engineering and the drawings and all that completion done, and then come back for the bigger project later with maybe a toe in the door as opposed to a whole foot, saying, okay, this is where this brings it up, but it keeps the money freer longer, yeah, and compartmentalizes it. Yeah. And so we had that very discussion. And so this, whatever we come up with in the board, I think will help the counties just from experience figure out how to make the money best spent at the right time, and it goes back to my three things. Am I doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time, and try to apply that to any one project or into anything else? And I think that would help alleviate some of that rollover or that money that's in the bank but isn't available because of whatever the circumstances are, without necessarily having to penalize somebody unless they're gaming it. But it would allow for more flexibility with more funding, probably, is a thought. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate those comments. Ms. Powers?
Thank you. Just quickly, this is probably an agenda item for the policy retreat, which is in June. The board should ask when the applicants come in if it's shovel ready. That is certainly an option. They put a date on the application when they think they're going to start, as we ask it, but they don't always know. Another option, which could be discussed at the policy retreat, is that you have a set of a fund just for the sole purpose of planning. And right now we have planning requires 50% match. You have project planning, could be an optional funding source for these people up to $100,000 or $50,000 to do your due diligence on a project. Right now we have them listed on the CID application list, which hopefully that means you're shovel ready. At the AOG level, they have asked those questions, hopefully, to even get on that list. That is the purpose of the CID application list, is to determine if a project is truly ready for this year. So,
thank you for that.
Closure. Like, there's no ramifications if you were not truthful, or if you just put, and I'm not saying they're not truthful, but if they were putting best case scenario
in a there's nothing for the deviation.
Yeah, there's nothing for the, there's no penalty for deviation from that. So
you can put a two-year limit on and limits recapture.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Seeing no further comments on the financial review, we're going to move on to item 3, approval of minutes from the February 2nd, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll move. I'll second.
Motion made by Commissioner Lytle, second by Commissioner Miles. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, will you please conduct the vote?
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. Yes, thank you.
Mr. Brothers, Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. On to item four. 4.1 Uintah Special Service District Number 1, Sea Bridge Road Improvements. Ms. Powers, would you please provide a quick overview, and then we will introduce the applicants for introductions and a brief presentation, please.
This funding is for the newly combined Uintah Special Service District Number 1. In 2022, the Uintah Transportation, the Uintah Impact Mitigation, and the Uintah Recreation SSD were all combined into one district known as Uintah Special Service District Number 1. This project is for Seabridge Road. They're having to do some improvements because the road, which CIB provided a lot of funding for and created the road itself. In fact, CIB has spent $55 million on this road. It started in 2009, and CIB provided grants and loans, just about 50-50. The listing on the yellow review sheet does not include the 2009 funding, which was started out with a $7,500,000 grant and a $7,500,000 loan. From 2009 until now, of course, you have the need for roads to get maintained now. That's why the board does not authorize loans longer than 15 years for roads. So here we are. This is 53 miles of that roadway. It's 48.6 chip seal, culvert repair in seven places. And my question is it solely maintenance, and what maintenance have they done? I don't think they're creating any new roadway with this, but that's for the applicant to answer. The entity is asking for all grants for this project, and some interesting participation cash. We have a $1,500,000 applicant cash, and then we have a $2,597,000, which CIB or Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has a legislative appropriation. It was for the same road, but for a build out, extending the road, but they have determined that they will put this legislative authorization towards this project. And they have indicated that it is an eligible transfer. So that's the funding that you see in this. Of interest in the, as you're reviewing the minutes on this project, and sorry to be long-winded, but it was fascinating that they're coming to CIB for all grant, but they're also giving $500,000 of their own cash to the Uintah Fire Suppression Special Service District, which is coming to this board today for supplemental funding for the project, the Tridale Fire Station and Community Center. So there's, I guess, Uintah Special Service District as the entity as a whole. It's new, but they're requesting funding for the Seabridge Road.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. So now I'll turn the time over to representatives from the Uintah Special Service District Number 1 and Jones and Lamell Engineering, and anyone else who's attending on the project's behalf. Welcome and good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you for that introduction, Candace. My name is Cheryl Meyer. I'm the executive director of the newly created Uinta Special Service District 1. I am the former director of Uinta Transportation Special Service District. As Candace indicated, yes, this project is coming for you, forward to you with a unique partnership as far as with Uinta County, our local match, and with the partnership of Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. I would like to just give you a basic scope of the project, but also mention to you that this is a shovel-ready project. So this project is, like Candace said, 53 miles of roadway. There are some lane leveling, milling areas to correct areas of heaving and settlement. There is the chip seal related to the impacts from the infrastructure from the production industry. It's pretty self-explanatory, and we went over the funding and how that comes about. That funding and the request for all grant is actually a request of only 38% of the project. And so getting ready to move forward on this project is the request for all grant, to not have to be very budget minded about, you know, closing or entering into a loan. This project has been on our minds, knowing that we needed to facilitate some sort of corrections out there. And so we've been saving and trying to find a good funding project partnership with that. So, and I will speak to Candace's introduction of the partnership that we have with Uinta Fire Impact Mitigation. So as indicated, these are three combined districts, recreation, transportation, and impact mitigation. So the partnership that we have with Uinta Fire is actually on the recreation side. So that is separate money. Their community center sits on a park with restrooms included that we manage and maintain as the previous recreation district. So that's the partnership there. So even though we're all together now, budgeted as separate funds.
So, and it is all maintenance, no new roadway.
Yes, to answer that question, it is all maintenance, no new roadway.
Thank you.
And so as I welcome to questions.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I will turn it over to the board for questions, comments, and deliberation. Commissioner Miles, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a couple of questions. What big projects do you have coming up? I know, looking at your bond sheet, you've got almost $900,000 a year in bond payments. What other big projects do you have on the horizon that you're looking to after this project?
So we're after this project. So the 2022 TIMP on the bond sheet, that's in progress. We also are doing 4.4 miles of red wash road in Uinta County. That was a phased project, and we're finally getting to the third phase of that. As far as transportation related projects, we have a couple of smaller projects through doing highways, but then of course we have, you know, on the other side we have recreation projects and then also some higher education projects.
Thank you.
Additional questions, comments from the board? Chairman Zanotti, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, let's see, Ms. Myers, you have indicated in your minutes that 53 miles of roadway but you're going to only do 48.6 chip seals. What is the reason for not doing the whole length of the road?
So it's been approximately 2 years ago. We had the Ore Bottoms Road project. Due to some good bids that year, we were able to extend the chip seal. It's a continuation. That road came into it, so we were able to extend the chip seal into this project. So that's the difference of about four miles. So chip seal has been recently done.
Okay. Do you have actually road maintenance plan in your annual budget?
And you so through.
Go ahead.
So are you asking like so through you in the county? They have a database for their road maintenance plan and their GIS system. Is that what you're asking?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
So you do have.
Mm-hmm.
And one more question. I don't know who's going to answer this, Mr. Chairman. The AOG review sheet is blank, but signed up for some reason. It's blank. You have not filled out any information, but it's signed up for the AOG representative.
I can see it.
The AOG review that I'm looking at.
The one I looked at, it was just a blank, it just but signature was there. Yeah, it's nothing, any of the columns and the table. No yes, no's, nothing being selected.
Are you talking about the CIB review sheet or the AOG?
AOG review sheet. Associated Government Regional. Unless I got there, I don't know why I have a blank sheet I'm looking at.
Chairman Wells?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Powers, do you have a comment? I just heard my name whispered.
sorry, Chairman Wells, that was myself. I did want to add that we did receive bids on this project yesterday. Very favorable bids. I know with the rising costs and the thought of maybe coming back to request more or having to find more funding, we did receive bids that will fit into this funding package. And so we're really happy about that.
Yeah, this is my colleague with Jones and DeMille, and that when you talk about a shovel-ready project, to be honest, almost none of the projects that come before CIB when they come before you are truly shovel-ready in the true sense of the word. This is one that is. We've got bids, the design's done, it's ready to go, it can move forward. Most of the projects that come before you, full engineering design has not taken place. That's why it's in the application. So this one is one that is ready to go.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I have two or three questions. First of all, what is the status of the money coming from the legislature? Is that in process, or what was it, $2.5 million that you were trying to get from the legislature through Seven County?
Yes, so it's $2.597 million. That money is with Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. They have vetted that process and have secured that funding. And it is with them. It'll remain with them, and we will do reimbursements like we do with CIB through Seven County.
Okay.
To draw down from that money.
So that is secure, and your applicant cash is secure. You have that money. I want you to, and I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to get some explanation. I want you to defend your request for all grant, because we have a tool that we use, and the tool indicates that you could afford some loans. So just defend what your request is, please.
So if we were to come for the entire project, the 6.656, and insert it in the tool, would roughly bring up a 40% loan and a 60% grant. So hoping to not have to go through a closing process and spend those additional funds to close, we created a funding package that, so the request was a 38% all grant, which is quite a bit lower than what I believe the tool would have shown if we requested the entire amount of the project.
So I guess in the long and short of it, can you afford any of this request in a loan?
The 2.559, at this point, we feel like we have secured the 2.597 from SCIC and saved and secured the 1.5 million. So at this time, I guess I'm going to say that we feel like to go back to the drawing board would probably not necessarily be something we would be extremely ready to do as far as this shovel-ready project to move forward. I don't know if that answers that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get confirmation from CIV staff that that's really how the tool would look at it. So they're saying, hey, if they were to come with the full amount, it would have recommended the same split as what the median's saying now. And so they, because counties like Uinta County, they're not coming because of hardship, right? They're coming because they have a lot of energy mitigation and they're owed a lot of the money that comes back through there. And we all get that, right? But it's very different than, you know, some of these rural counties that the funding is made based on what they can afford and their hardship. We know Uinta County could probably shuffle things around and afford to do it differently. However, I like what they're saying. They're like, well, what the tool was going to give us was this. So we've adjusted our cash to be, so we could avoid all the costs of having to do the bonding, right? So I get what they're saying and I like what they're saying because I think it's more efficient. I just want to confirm, like, if they would have come with the full amount rather than bringing in their own cash, what would the tool have recommended, I guess?
Thank you, Mayor Baker.
And I agree with Kurt's comments on there. One thing we need to oil and gas industry to get out to do their job. And so it's not just a leisure road. It is a vital road that does take a lot of heavy truck traffic. And it truly does need to be chip sealed and protected so the longevity of it on there. And again, Uinta County, it produces a tremendous amount of revenue that comes into us extraction. We need to be aware that we want to keep those activities going and help those, that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Baker. Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes, the question that I have is, I realize you produce a lot of resources, but do you not get something like 42% off the top before it even comes before us?
No, that the state, from my understanding, when the state gets the money in, we're all CIB, the counties are all on their percentage. So ours doesn't come off the top. Ours is allocated when yours is allocated.
6.25%.
6.25%, Commissioner Miles. So.
Yes, yeah, so that's.
Well, but I think what they're saying is there's other lease mineral revenues that go directly to Uinta County before the CIB funding, right?
Well, it's not off the top. I mean, there's a good chunk that goes to UDOT and other state agencies before we get our
of
cut.
Of course,
so.
Yeah.
But it's 6.25% of the total or 6.25%?
Mineral lease is 6.25%.
Right.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle, and then a comment from Treasurer Slaw, please.
Thank you. Because of the difference in the request and what the matrix figured out, would we have to have a whatever, help me out, the statement.
Exemption.
Exemption, thank you. Stated, if we were to make the motion as requested, and I guess for the sake of conversation, what exemption fits that? And I'm opening the floor to that conversation if we're inclined to go that direction.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner. Staff suggestions?
Anybody got an
exemption?
I'll have it.
I will name what there is.
Or put it on the screen in special circumstance, maybe?
Financial hardship, special circumstance, administrative, emergency response, mitigation, unique project. Those are the five.
So my comment, I guess if you'd be open to a motion, would be to go as proposed as a special circumstance based on the financing that they've already accomplished, as well as the apparent work that they've done relative to being shovel ready.
Under which exemption, Jack?
Special circumstance.
Special circumstance.
Any comments on that?
I'd second that motion.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Mayor Baker. Any comments, discussion on the motion on the floor? Okay. Yeah, Commissioner Miles, please.
I support the motion. I think this is a special circumstance. The money that was allocated from the legislature was meant to continue that road down to I-70. And the state had a major interest in that road. And then because of political pressure, we are where we are. And so we went back to the legislature and asked them if we could get that money repurposed to use for maintenance. This has been a long process to try and get that road, or to keep that road in good shape. There are thousands of wells that this road leads to and millions of dollars that come into state coffers because of that road. And so I would hope that we would support this project and maintain that road as we go forth. I think Uinta County has come with a lot of skin in the game. They do have almost $1 million in bond payments that they'll see for the next few years. And I think that, you know, after 2026, when their big bond payments paid off, they can definitely afford another loan at that point. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Powers, would you please restate the motion and then initiate a roll call on the motion, please?
Thank you. The motion is to fund the Uinta Special Service District Number 1 Seabridge Road Improvements as a $2,559,000 grant made by Jack Lytle and Commissioner Miles? Baker, Mayor Baker.
Mayor Baker.
Thank you. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, Board.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Up next on the agenda, item 4.2, is the town of Kusharum New Community Center. I hope I didn't mispronounce that, Commissioner Brown. Kusharum. Ms. Powers, if you would provide just a brief overview for the board, and then we'll turn the time over to our applicants.
Thank you. This is for the town of Kusharum. This also should be authorized to the building authority because lease revenue is pledged, but I'll let them speak to that. This is for a community center. Their request is a $1,150,000 grant and a $200,000 loan. It is outside the tool range. The description says that it's going to be a metal 55 by 100 feet in a building with engineering and design. In the January 11th public hearing minutes, it says it's a cultural and recreational center for the town. It will have a gymnasium, entryway, tables, and chairs for community functions. My question is, does the town have the land? There was a $30,000 in budget for land, and the map shows a location, but the public hearing had made multiple suggestions. And with that, I turn it over to the board.
Thank you, ma'am. So I will turn the time over to our applicants for brief introductions and any comments on the project. I'm seeing Mr. Torgerson available and any others that are with him this morning. Welcome.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman and board members. Thanks for your time today. I'm the mayor of Kusharum, and I have with me here Mr. Brennan Reese, who represents Ensign Engineering, which has been helping us with the design. If I could take just 1 minute to state our purpose and need for this. Quoting from the Utah Leagues and Cities and Towns Manual, it says art councils and youth recreation leagues are not a waste of time and money. They are part of what builds a sense of belonging and place. And one of the jobs of local officials is to make sure this happens. And one other little quote, remember, you are building a community, not a subdivision. The emphasis should always be on providing needed services at reasonable costs. And building and preserving a welcoming place and all other things will take care of themselves. We have a community center that's over 100 years old, has a rock foundation, low ceilings, about 12 foot high ceilings. We heat it with a wood stove. The current chambers and town office when I was a child was where we parked the fire engine and the old Ghostbuster ambulance, if you've seen those. We plugged up the doors and put in a walk-in door and built on a chamber room. We've been very frugal in for many decades trying to build up a fund to build a community center, but the seems like the cost of building is outpacing our ability to save. We have this in our master plan. We think it's very important for mental and physical health of our citizens. We have long, cold winters with no Richfield's about 35 miles. Paiute High School's about 40 miles. We got Wayne County over to the east. We just don't have a place for our citizens to go. And we'd also like to include in this building a council chambers and some offices. And kind of update our town. We'd like to have pickleball court and some ability for basketball and volleyball for our citizens, our kids, our youth. We just think it's very important for our town to maybe eventually go to the next step here. As far as the land goes, we do have some land behind our fire building that we could build it on, but we'd prefer to our number one side is to secure some land just to the south from a neighbor. Once this project's approved, we would do that. We have a second option, which has been donated land from Sorensen Ranch School on Main Street up on 200 North. And then the town does own other property in town, but it's not in the center of town where we'd like this community center to be. So if you have any questions, that's our proposal, though.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll turn it over to the board for questions and comments and discussion. Chairman Zanotti, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mayor. Thank you for being here. So if you haven't selected the site and you haven't negotiated the price, according to description, the project is not shovel ready, right? So how do you know how much you want to borrow money? Because you don't know what the price of the land is going to be. And based on that, what will be the ultimate price of the buildings and projects? How are you going to consider that?
So we've talked to them about this price where the land is of $30,000. But we could also move it just to the north behind our fire station. It would fit there just fine. And we currently own that property. It would just fit better. So
with the site that you prefer to have you negotiated the price on that site? Have you talked to the owners of the land?
We have spoken with them, yes.
Now you have a contract?
No contract, sorry, no.
No contract. And could you please tell me why elementary school stopped hosting these events and when that happened?
So we've had a lot of events at Kisharim Elementary School over the years. They require us to get liability insurance to have events there. And their janitors and their principal has been less and less willing to spend more time cleaning and spending more time after the hours to deal with out-of-school activities. And we've currently just outgrown the old town hall community center.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Treasurer Slaw. Commissioner Bartholomew, why don't you go ahead and we'll wait for Kurt to fade back to the live tier. There. Let's see.
Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Yeah.
So having been in a position of a mayor of a small town, I understand where Mayor Torgensen is coming from. We talked, we spent a lot of time as I listened this morning on where these money should go and the capabilities of cities and counties to repay. I can guarantee you that Kisharim does not have the revenue sources or the tax base to pay back a big loan on this. And therefore, I'm willing to move a motion forward. And that is to fund it as requested.
I'm not comfortable with that yet, but I'll provide a substitute motion.
Okay.
While that motion's been made, is there a second for that motion? Before we.
After the motion, we, because the internet stopped here.
Okay. Yeah. So we're anticipating a substitute motion, Treasurer Slaw, but I think for process, Commissioner Bartholomew has made a motion to fund as requested. Is there a second to that motion from the board?
I'll second it to bring it to the table.
Thank you, Commissioner Lytle. Are there any comments on that outside of, Treasurer Slaw, why don't you go ahead and make your substitute motion?
I had more questions for the applicant, before we went offline, before we made the motion. So one of my questions would be, since this is outside the range, even though I understand that recreation is important, I also believe that recreation is not on the same level as paving roads and putting in sewers and things that actually are required infrastructure for communities. So I'm less favorable. I mean, if to me, if you're going to live in Kesherim, you shouldn't expect all the same amenities in terms of recreational opportunities that you would expect if, you know, you lived in a big city with a larger tax base. And I know maybe that's a little bit unfair, but I come from a very rural area in Uinta County, and I can tell you we didn't have pickleball courts and anything like that where I came from, and the winters were 40 below zero. So I know how they feel, but at the same time, I think there's got to be some reasonability in what's affordable in these various communities. And so I'm less favorable about funding recreation in a very rural community, knowing that it's just not feasible for every rural area to have its own, you know, recreational amenities to the level that we would expect living in the city, I guess. So my question would be, since this is outside the tool range, would you guys be able to afford the payment at the median tool range, which is 17% grant, 83% loan? The loan payment would be $43,000 a year. Is that even something that you guys would be able to afford with your tax base?
Say the annual loan payment one more time. I think you said
$43,000. Yeah, $43,000 would be your loan payment a year.
I think we could afford $15,000 a year, maybe $18,000 a year. We've saved about $300,000 for this project, and we'd like to use that money to make our annual payments, and then before that money runs out, make the payments, be able to even, you know, save more to make the last payments on the loan. But I think $43,000 would not be achievable for us.
Okay. So,
and this also includes our town council chambers and town offices would also be included in this building.
Okay. So I guess my substitute motion, given all that, would be to deny this request and not to provide funding for this project.
Is there a second to that motion? Seeing none, the substitute motion is denied. The motion to fund as requested is still on the floor. Comments? Senator Brown, please.
Thank you. So I've been a commissioner for 6 years, and I am over Sevier County where Kesherim is located. One thing that I've really picked up on when I've attended meetings over there is the close-knit group of people, but they are secluded. They are quite a ways away, so for blood drives, weddings, funeral dinners, things like that, this building would be a very high asset for them. I'm totally in support of this building and this funding. I travel through that community fairly often and feel connected to these folks, and I feel like if anybody deserves that, that they surely do. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Baker.
Yeah, one of my thoughts is we had here is I went back and pulled up the information. I came up with what they showed as 803,300 for the building, and then 281,200 for the parking side. If you look at the asphalt, that we would fund the building as all grant, that $800,300, if I say that right, and let them get the building, and then they can start working on what they can do for needed project, and small communities do need it, and I would like to make that as a substitute motion.
Building.
Okay.
Could you clarify the numbers associated with that?
I pulled up in the package, and I wrote down I'd have to go back into the package, but I had 803,000 dollars, if I did that right, in the building, and then it showed the parking at 2,200.
Okay, Ms. Powers, can you restate that motion? Do you understand that motion clearly?
Yes, I do.
Would you mind reading that for the board, and then we'll ask for see if there's a second to the motion.
Also, while she does that, I have a point of order. What are the
from what the matrix says the exemption be included in the motion, please?
And my motion would be that it's a financial hardship would be my exemption.
Okay. Thank you. So, Ms. Powers, if you'd go ahead and restate the motion, and then we'll call for a second.
The motion from Mayor Baker was to fund the building only, and on the estimate, it was $800,300. He has omitted the site improvements, which were $281,200, which is the asphalt. However, I might recommend some of the amenities in those improvements because it includes the water line and associated appurtenances that would be necessary. So right now, what I think he's authorized is the 803, but there should be a little bit more.
Do you concur with that, Mayor Baker?
Sure. I'm getting there and functional. Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion as stated?
Curtis, Mr. Bruce, I'm trying to raise my hand, but I guess.
I'm staring at about 10 raised hands right now. And so right now, what I'm just looking for is for someone to make a second. If there isn't a second, going to die, and we're going to go back to the original motion, and then we can get back into comments. So I'm calling for a second to the motion. Seeing none, the substitute motion fails, and we will go back. We will go to comments now. At the motion that was originally made, I believe by Commissioner Bartholomew, to fund as presented. So that is now the original motion is the motion that's on the floor. Comments, Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mayor, for being here. I am sympathetic to your situation, and I really do think that projects like this have a lot of value for a community and in gathering. I also agree that it probably doesn't fall to the same level of critical needs as water lines, sewer truck or sewer fire trucks, things like that. Questions I have are, we had a discussion about potentially phasing the project. I'd love to get your take on what aspects of that can be phased. And then a question for staff. We cited financial hardship as a possible exception for this. Does the tool not account for financial hardship or those types of circumstances into the tool itself? I recognize that the mayor said that what the tool provided was really, you know, beyond their realistic capabilities, but just wondering about that a little bit. I'll pause there.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Commissioner Taylor, comments?
Yes. First off, can we look at the tool? What would happen if he had a $16,000 a year payment? Where would that put the loan and grant? And then I have a question, Mayor Torgerson. It's good to see. I appreciate all that you do. These little communities, I know, struggle. Somebody somewhere has to give them a little bit of hope sometimes. I want to see what he claims he can afford somewhere between $15,000 and $18,000 a year. I picked $16,000. But Mayor, if there was a community crisis where you had to house everybody or do something in that realm, where would you go? Where would you put your community?
So we do have a fairly nice fire station that would help. And this building would also help. We have the old town hall, which would help. The problem, we've tried to hold some community events in the fire station, but it's really not conducive. The firemen really don't like all the kids running around with their fire equipment and trucks and, you know, stuff like that that's there. So
safety issue, yeah. I understand that. So looking at the tool, you could afford, what you're telling me is you could afford a loan of about $405,000 and a grant of $945,000. Is that correct?
That's correct. I think we could.
Okay. That would, if it's at all possible, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a substitute motion that we loan them $405,000 and we grant them $945,000.
Second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Motion made by Commissioner Taylor, second by Chairman Zanotti. Comments? Mayor Baker?
Sorry, I just hadn't took my hand.
Does that fit inside the suggested ranges? I couldn't catch up.
No, it's still outside the range.
Okay. Comments, Commissioner Brown.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of separating the building from the on-site. Being in the building business, 90% of that stuff that's on the on-site is required to service the building. The only thing that wouldn't be absolute necessary would be the asphalt, but boy, asphalt in front of a new building sure makes the longevity and keeps the building a lot nicer, especially with the weather and the snow amounts they get in Kasherm. So that would be my comment. Thank you.
That is the whole amount.
Yeah, the new motion is yes. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Miles.
I'm having a real hard time understanding how you can afford any loan. I'm sorry, looking at your applications, with your tax rate, you bring in $7,000 a year. And I see with your bonds, you've apparently committed your road funds to the one bond payment, but you're sitting on $30,000 worth of debt right now a year. How can you afford to take a loan? You're bringing in $7,000 in taxes a year, so you're relying on revenue from other sources.
Well, you're correct. Our community is the lowest tax levy community in the county of Sevier. We don't know whether that's a bragging point or a bad thing, but we do get some pretty good money in sales tax that comes to us. Total, in all revenue sources, we get a little over $100,000 a year, but we are very tight. The only room we have is the $300,000 that we've saved up for a capital project.
I think we're doing you a disservice if we give you big loan. Where I'm currently at, either we've got to help out this small community or we've got to deny it. Those are the only options.
Just 100% grant or nothing.
Yep.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, those are good comments. Thank you, Commissioner Miles. Commissioner Lytle, please.
A couple of questions. One is the land isn't secured yet, so I'm a little nervous about that unless it's something that can be done, unless I misunderstood, that could be done in time for the funding meeting or have something a little more secure in that side of it. The other question I have is, in terms of disclosure, the town may only have the fire department and the old building, but in terms of what it controls in the event of an emergency, I assume that in the event of an emergency, the church and the school become very important. in terms of being able to support those efforts to Jerry's or the commissioner's points earlier. So that's my comment.
Thank you. Treasurer Sloth.
So along those same lines, my question was how shovel ready is it? So sounds like there's an issue with the land. I'm wondering if you have contracts with any builders or developers that you know would be able to perform and be able to construct this at the budget that you've provided here. We see costs escalating, and so I don't want to run into a situation where a year down the road you're coming back and saying, oh, well, our estimates weren't sufficient. It's going to cost us more. I know it's hard to get builders out to rural communities, and with all the issues there's been in construction, I'm trying to understand how shovel-ready this is. So if you can speak to that, that would be helpful for me.
So we do have land. It would be better if we could get a sliver of additional land, but we do have land and we have several options for places to put it. It's just the most preferable option is what we proposed. So we do have land, and we have even community members that's willing to donate land for it. So, that's not a problem for location and shovel ready. The other part of the question was contractors, and you know, probably Commissioner Brown could speak to this, but I think we do have good contractors and good abilities to get the project built as far as that goes in this area. Commissioner Brown, do you have more information about that?
Not only do we have a lot of contractors, but in Sevier County, one of the largest building construction of metal buildings that in our area live right there and has done a lot of work on the fairgrounds and recently and always stays within his budget. But also, I'm a builder and materials are now falling. I'm on a current house project where the framing and trusses and just the material alone dropped $10,000. So I think I'm pretty confident to say they meet their cost designs estimates.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I just want to speak in support of what Commissioner Miles said. Do you have any commercial properties in the town of Kashurim? Is there grocery stores, gas stations, or anything that you get any tax money off of?
We do have Grass Valley Merc, and then we also have Sorensen Trance School. And Sorensen Trance School brings us in some pretty good tax revenue. And then the Grass Valley Merc is quite
a... Well, I think if we don't give you as what you've requested, I don't know how you make it. And maybe, I think, Ron, you've recently retired from another job. I've done that too, and it kind of clouds your mind a little bit when that happens. And so I understand maybe why you momentarily agreed to take on a loan of bigger proportions. But I think maybe you've rethought that a little bit. And we shouldn't straddle these guys with a big loan.
So, Commissioner Taylor, are you interested in rescinding your motion that was previously made?
I was just going to raise my hand and say yes. I'd like to, if someone else would like to make a different motion, I will drop my motion.
So that motion is rescinded, so we're back to Mayor Baker's motion is on the floor to fund as requested. That's where we're at now.
One more comment, please.
Comment from Commissioner Lytle.
I agree with what's been said, and you brought up the point, Ron, that you have the lowest tax rate among small towns or whatever, it's very low. Is that something that you would, in order to get this project done, would your community support raising that tax at all?
I think they would.
And I know that's moving us a different direction, but I also know we have some towns that are kind of proud of not having any tax and yet don't have any skin in the game. And we'll have some of those types of projects coming forward, I'm sure, over time, and have had. But I'm not trying to push you into a corner, but at the same time, if that's part of your commitment to repay any bond, then I think to make sure that at least you have that space in your taxing to do it. My substitute motion, until the land is even under contract or something, so that it's less vulnerable in terms of shovel ready, would be to put it on the pending list and have you come back with some more security relative to the land where you want to build it, where you will build it, so that it's more shovel ready. But I hesitate to make that motion in that it's kicking a can down the road, and I don't want to do that.
Okay. Thank you for those comments. Seeing no additional comments, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote. Motion made by Mayor Baker, seconded. I'm sorry. Who's that?
The substitute would be to put it on the list.
So you are making a substitute motion. I'm sorry.
He said my only hesitancy in my thinking was based on my thoughts, but
I'll
making a substitute to put it on the pending list.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Lytle to place the project on the pending list, seconded by Ms. Hansen. Comments, discussion on this motion. Here come the hands. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I'd speak against this motion simply because if we wait until they come back, it kind of pushes them past the construction season, which would be this summer, which they could actually get something started. And if we wait and don't fund them till later on, then, you know, they might have to deal with higher costs and a number of things. So I would speak against the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Lytle, do you have any further comments? Seeing your hand still raised.
Just in defense of the comment or the motion, it would be that I'll rescind the motion, but in commenting to the motion that would be on the table with me rescinding it, it would be that there be a contingency that they, by the time we come to the funding meeting in June, in June, that they have a secure and definitive place to put the building as
okay
in your planning process. Okay.
So we have a recension of placing the project on the pending list. We have an amendment to the motion that stands, as stated by Commissioner Lytle. Is there a second to the amendment to the motion?
Second.
Second by Ms. Hansen. Comment, Mayor Baker.
Could you just restate what where we're at with the motion, what it is, so I know what I'm voting?
That's fair enough.
Yeah, so right now where we're at is we have a motion to fund as requested with an amendment made by Commissioner Lytle. Commissioner Lytle, will you please just restate your amendment?
Yes, that it be contingent, their funding be contingent on having the ground secured and a definitive place to put their buildings.
By which date?
By June, the June funding meeting.
By the June funding meeting. And that amendment to the motion is seconded by Ms. Hansen, correct? Yes. Ms. Powers, will you please conduct a roll call vote?
Yes. This is to fund the Kasharam New Community Center as requested, a $1,150,000 grant, $200,000 loan, 30-year at 1.5%, contingent on having the land secured.
And the exception would be what? Financial hardship?
That's correct.
Was that what the maker of this motion said?
It's special.
This one.
Commissioner Bartholomew made
this motion. We're just on the amendment right now. Correct? We're just on the amendment.
Yeah, Commissioner Bartholomew made the initial motion to fund as requested. Clarification is, did that include an exception? And if so, which one? Commissioner Bartholomew, Candace, do you?
I was understanding it was financial hardship.
Yep. Is that your understanding, yes. Commissioner?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Roll call.
Roll call vote, please.
This is for the amended first motion to fund the Kasharam City Center. And it's made by Scott Bartholomew and Maura Hansen, seconded the amended motion.
So we're on the amendment?
Yes.
Prior to the full motion?
No.
Right?
No.
Full motion includes your amendment.
Okay, thank you.
It's just a little bit different way you're doing it.
It's still getting my lonely California.
Commissioner Lytle could have accepted the amendment as he seconded the first motion to get it over. But Ms. Hansen seconded the amendment. Mr. Slaw.
No.
Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Lytle?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Vote no, because I think we're giving them a loan they can't afford.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with 3 opposed.
Thank you. Congratulations to the applicant. And I want to say, moving forward, when we're trying to navigate through an agenda item, when I say let's not pre-share on this, guys, you'll know what I'm talking about. But in all seriousness, thank you to the applicants and Commissioner Brown. Congratulations. Up next, we have the City of Moab. Item 4.3 on the agenda. Request is for $7,939,000 with $3,969,000 in grant, $3,970,000 in loan. 20 years at 1% for the King Creek Boulevard Reconstruction Project 500 West to U.S. Highway 191. I want to give a warm welcome to the Moab City Manager, Ms. Carly Castle, and her staff. And Ms. Powers, would you please provide just a brief overview for the board, and then we'll turn the time over to Ms. Castle.
I've driven this road. I appreciate any improvements you can do to it. It's Moab City is presenting a funding application for Cane Creek Boulevard reconstruction. It's 5th West to US 191. They've indicated that this will be to widen it a bit, to put sidewalk, intersection, and driveway reconstruction. It's an extensive project. In the road addendum, Moab indicates a maintenance program. And I hope that there needs to be one, but they have $1,117,000 in BNC road funds. It indicated it's utilized each year in full. This project will provide a complete section replacement of Cane Creek Boulevard from Fifth West to US 91, and that's from the public hearing minutes. It's to replace old sewer and water lines as well. My question is, I know that we've received some review from DEQ on this because we're replacing water lines because we've dug them up. The project will also bring the sidewalk into ADA compliance. It will add rectangular rapid flashing beacons, and I'm not sure what that is. Is it help with the crosswalk? $868,710 is to come from the city, but I don't see that it's reflected in the application. I believe that they're doing their own pre-construction engineering, construction administration, and other possible items such as purchase of easements. Would this include tearing up the street? Because it shows also they discussed a future south trunk line on Cane Creek Boulevard if they do the new reconstruction of the road. Please don't tear it up after you've done it. It also includes $350,000 for landscaping. They've asked for a half grant, half loan. My concern and the board's concern would be that it's a 20-year term on a road reconstruction. Roads don't usually last past 15 years. And also, if you're pledging any BNC road funds for this, the maximum term for the loan would be 10 years. So what is the revenue that they're pledging for this project if they want to go a 20-year term? They may be paying off the loan after the road needs attention again, so that would be a concern. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. So I will ask Ms. Castle to introduce herself with the City of Moab and any staff that's with her today. Good morning, Ms. Castle. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Like the chair said, I'm Carly Castle, the city manager for the City of Moab. I also have with me City Finance Director Ben Billingsley, City Engineer Chuck Williams, and Mayor Joette Linganese, if they would be able to join as panelists, Mr. Chair. They will be able to answer a few of the questions from staff, the project-specific questions regarding the engineering and financing of the project. So I'll give a brief overview. It was a really good overview from Candace. Thank you. But I'm excited to be here today to present our application to reconstruct Cane Creek Boulevard, which is an aging collector road in our community. This has been the city's top priority road project for many years, as the boulevard serves significant neighborhood and resident traffic. It is also a gateway for visitors to access some of our region's premier outdoor recreational opportunities. As you saw in the pictures, many issues plague Cane Creek, including large potholes, aging chip and seal, insufficient storm drainage, damaged or absent curbs and sidewalks, and water and sewer infrastructure that has passed its lifespan. While it is a major collector and technically the shortest point from A to B, Cane Creek is typically avoided by residents and visitors because it seems treacherous to drive. What we have in mind for this project is a transformation of the road that incorporates complete street design, green infrastructure, active transportation elements, and pedestrian safety so it can better accommodate the myriad of users that utilize it day to day, or when they are visitors to our community. As was mentioned, we're requesting approximately $8 million in accommodational grant and loan funding, and me and my staff are happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Castle. I do see that we've added Mayor Joette Linganese as a panelist, Mayor of Moab City. Welcome. And Ben Billingsley with the City of Moab. Good morning and welcome, Mayor Linganese.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. If I could just take one brief minute to thank the board and the chair for allowing us to present this project to you. I also want to emphasize that Moab City recognizes the importance of mineral lease in the Community Impact Fund and have benefit greatly over the years from this funding. I also hope that you would take into consideration, because I'm not sure that the tool included the fact that last August, Moab City had a significant catastrophic flash flood that went through town, and we were actually, the governor declared a state of emergency. However, unfortunately, we did not get any funding from FEMA to help us mitigate some of those flooding concerns that came out of that event. And so part of the reason that we've asked for 50% loan and 50% grant is to help us to be able to mitigate those flooding issues that arose. This project itself is not related to any of the damage that occurred from that flood, but the project will mitigate any future flooding issues that will more likely occur again in the future. So thank you for the opportunity, and staff is available to answer all the questions that you might have.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mayor and Manager Castle. I wondered if you have looked at UDOT's SIB, the State Infrastructure Bank, as a possible funding source for this. It is designed, it's been used most recently for a lot of parking garages in urban Utah, but it's available to the entire state. It would be a loan. It would be 5% above the bond rate that is available to the state. So that's a funding source that is available, and perhaps Commissioner Zanotti can speak to that as well. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that I recognize that Moab receives a lot of traffic from tourists from around the state, and so you carry the burden of maintaining roads that are used by a lot of people beyond your own residence. And there was some legislation that was passed this session, actually, SB 175, that creates a new rural transportation improvement fund. And the idea there is to carve out funding specifically for supporting rural Utah roadway projects just like this. So I think that those are two funding sources that you might want to look at. You're asking for a large amount of funding here from CIB, and Moab is one of those areas that has a lot of resources, certainly more than other communities that we're considering in the state. And so my inclination, I'm not going to make a motion right now, but my inclination would be to ask you to look at other funding sources.
Treasurer Flaw.
Thank you. And Mayor, thank you for being here and for presenting your case. I have a question. If the tool range tells us that you should be getting a 63% loan and a 37% grant, and I know you've given us a lot of reasons why, that might be hard, but could you afford an annual payment of $389,000 if the board were to approve you in the median range or not?
Yeah, I'll let Ben, our financial director, address that question. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to address that. I think it's important to understand the resources that Laura Hansen mentioned regarding that are available to the city of Moab. It is a city of 5,000. I think it's important to understand the scale and yet the visitation that is really supported by this small community. It's also a community that has really stagnated in growth since the mining boom. So the question that's been posed is as to whether or not the city could afford one of the higher levels of loan to grant ratio. The answer to that is yes. This is a project that will move forward at any level made available. I think that the argument that the city would make, or the request that the city would make to consider this, is that it's not the only such project that the city is facing at this time. I appreciate that suggestion on the other funding opportunities. What I would suggest is that the city use CIB funding as a source for this kind of kickoff project for all of these future projects that are similar in nature to this Cane Creek project, and then seek those other opportunities for future projects in the next 5 to 10 years. We would, so
With that said, the city can afford the higher rate, but it would diminish our ability to move forward other projects that are also in need. Many other communities are experiencing in the state of Utah, we have significant deferred maintenance, and we've also, like the mayor mentioned, have experienced high demand on our general fund revenue resulting from floods that aren't covered by other sources.
Thank you, Ben. Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, mayors. So in your public hearing meetings, you have some opposing opinions about this road that indicated that you mentioned that this is going to increase your mobility and the traffic pattern and all, but some people indicated that that is not the case. This is going to add more traffic, more people are going to come to use this road. So have you settled those opinions before coming before CIB?
Yes, I believe that we have. I believe that the comment came from one of our council members that was just concerned about having an alternative bypass that comes through town. And I believe that, there will be traffic that's going to be using that road, but the majority of it is going to be for our local residents to be able to have access to the west side of town and also for our visitors to have access to our backcountry. So I believe that we've worked with our city council member that had those concerns and that she supports this project.
Okay. And also, you did not answer the question about the Ms. Hansen's question, SIB, UDOT Infrastructure Bank. Have you had any approach them?
The SIB program? I think that is one that we have not sought for this. We have sought other opportunities that didn't fit with that. Not that one specifically, though.
Okay. Yeah, you can approach that. There's the money there to be used if you can afford it and if you can have the application right, go to UDOT. The last question I have, what is the source and the status of in-kind contribution of $868,000?
Right. I did notice that was labeled as in-kind. I believe that was intended to be applicant cash. So that is an applicant cash contribution.
Okay. Is available from what source?
Our capital projects fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I'm thinking along the same lines as Kurt, but a little different. I'm wondering, first of all, if we gave you the minimum amount on the tool, but increased the interest rate to 2%, maybe Paul, you could tell us what the annual payment would be.
What? How long of a term?
15.
15.
Has to be 15, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think it means to be 15. Yeah, at least not to exceed.
Or 10 if it's PNC, but, 327,490.
So what's the one that Kurt had?
Like 389.
389, so it would save him a little bit of money.
A little bit,
yeah. I'd be more inclined to go that direction. And,
is that a motion, Mr.
Are you making a motion then?
I'll make that motion, yes.
This is Commissioner Miles, I'll second the motion.
Motion seconded. Something that hasn't been mentioned that I do want to mention as a resident of the city of Moab is I do want to commend Moab City for their interest and commitment to affordable housing projects in the city of Moab. And this particular corridor is the future home of a couple affordable housing projects, one of them that's already vertical and being finished, but another large one in the future. And so I think particularly the utilities, but the pedestrian infrastructure is a pretty vital component, to ensuring safety for those future residents. And I think this is really a great example of the private sector and the public sector working together for, community solutions. So there is a community aspect to this as well that I think is really important for the citizens of the city. So any additional comments on the motion on the table?
Chairman, this again, I forgot to mention, I can see Moab from Monticello. I'm 7,000 feet elevation. I think there's more room. I don't know if that helps.
It does. I should also mention that my background today is a picture from 1922 of the city of Moab, which is number one, pretty cool. Number two, that's also the year that Commissioner Adams was appointed to the CIB board. and so I brought that with me today. So
that is,
I'm going to open myself up to that. Sorry.
That is old.
Ms. Powers, would you please just restate the motion very briefly, and then we'll continue with a roll call vote.
Thank you. The motion was made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Miles, to fund the Moab City Cane Creek Boulevard reconstruction, this south to U.S. 191, as a $4,208,000 loan, 15 years at 2%, and a $3,731,000 grant. Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
No, because I'm concerned that we're not going to have enough money to pay for all of these projects, and I think there are other funding sources available.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Sinnerly?
Aye.
That motion passes with one opposed and the chairman abstaining.
Thank you to the board and thank you to the applicants. Congratulations and good luck with your great project. Appreciate it.
So much.
Item number 44. Mona City 2023 road improvements, $103,000 grant is the request. I would like to welcome the applicant and turn the time over to Ms. Powers for a brief overview.
Thank you. This project is for Mona City 2023 road improvements. They've asked for a $103,000 grant. They do have $102,005 in applicant cash. They did indicate in their public hearing minute, and this is for road improvements, which is necessary for all cities, that the project was reduced to affordability. There was an approved amount of $396,000. So my question for the city of Mona City to discuss is the scope of work, which we have listed in our project, and if that's where they want to hold, and if they could consider different funding scenarios. And with that, I turn it over to the board and the applicant.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. I will, let's see, I'm looking for our representative from Mona City. Do we have someone on from Mona City? Please introduce yourself to the board.
See if they'll raise their hand, because I can't find them. If I've been lurking. There we go. Let me see. I have an attendee.
While we're for them, we'll go ahead and get started as a board and deliberating. Treasurer Slaw, please.
Sorry, can I ask one thing? Is that Jay Christensen? Did I see your hand up? Are you the? Okay, sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to promote you now. Sorry about that, folks.
That's okay. There's Jay Christensen, who's muted. So if you could please unmute Mr. Christensen. There you are. Welcome.
Okay, how's that?
That's good.
All right. I'm Mayor Pro Tem for Mona City, and the mayor was going to be here with me, but he's not, has not made it. But anyway, I'd like to address the board and suggest that instead of wasting their time right now, we have put a few figures together with our finance person, and we cannot afford another bond. So we will probably go looking for full grants somewhere to get this road done or do it with our own people. We have hired a couple of new employees, and that might be a good way to go. So I know I have some, I have a medium and a minimum, a medium and a maximum assessment of the loan and payments and stuff. And that's still going to be too much for us to take on another loan. So back to you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Treasurer Slaw. Comments.
Thanks, Mr. Christensen, for being here. And yeah, I have some questions on the tool as well. I thought for these smaller amounts, we usually didn't consider loans. So one of the things I'm wondering about is what's the cost of issuance? I know we get bond attorneys involved and stuff when we underwrite these loans. And on a small amount like this, is it cost effective to try and do this as a loan rather than just giving it out as a grant?
Tool does not, it still gives the scenario. It is up to the board's discretion to decide that they want to, you know, that's prohibited. Because it would be about $10,000 to close a loan. However, to $100,000, we have what is called a generic bond, which is just one side of the bond council. So, it would be less expensive of approximately $5,000, but it is an added cost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for that reason, I'm not super in favor of doing super small amounts like this as loans, just because that eats up quite a bit of money relative to what we're deploying out there. But I guess my question is, you're bringing $102,000 as applicant cash, which is quite a bit, and I commend you for that. But then how is it, would you be able, like, how is it that you can't afford a $7,000 loan, but you have $102,000 of cash available for the project? Can you maybe speak?
That would be coming out of the budgeted amount on roads. And there's a lot of other roads in the city that needs to be done too, but.
Okay. They just said no more loans. You know, we do have this.
Right.
We have quite a bit budgeted for this. We just don't want to do any more in loans or so. So I get that. And I feel like a 50% match is pretty meaningful. I'm not going to make a motion at this time because I want to allow for more questions, but I'm inclined to approve a grant as requested in that amount, given the fact they're bringing $102,000 to the project. But that's just my thoughts. So.
Thank you, Treasurer Slaw. Commissioner Miles.
Mr. Chair, if you'll entertain a motion, I'd like to make a motion that we fund as requested.
I'll second.
What's the exemption? Mo- administrative?
No, financial hardship.
Motion to fund as requested with a financial hardship exemption made by Commissioner Miles, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Comments on the motion? Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little perspective on some of the history of loans and grants by the CIB several years ago. somebody came with a 50% cash, we kind of looked at that as them lending the money to themselves, so looked at it as kind of a loan
Keep
to themselves. And so the fact they're bringing a half of this amount in as applicant cash or a loan to themselves, it makes sense to me to give them a 50% grant. So I'm supportive. I know I went around the block trying to explain this, but I'm supportive of the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Mayor Baker.
Yeah, and again, and my concern here is I pulled up and looked at in the application, their annual budget's almost $2 million. Their property tax is at 0.00058. They generate $67,000 a year. You know, I know that to me, like they could have taken that whole $103,000 in a little over $7,000 a year. So I'm just throwing that out. But it's a hardship, and I know Mona, but it's a bedroom community. Most of those people go and they use that as a bedroom community to get away from the density of the Wasatch Front. Just that's my comment.
Thank you, Mayor Baker. Treasurer Slaw.
Oh, sorry. I just didn't take my hand down. I have no further comments.
Yeah, I noticed you just kind of idle that up there, Treasurer Slaw. It's an interesting tactic. Ms. Hansen, please.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make the same comments that I shared with Moab here. There are some additional funding sources that could be available. Granted, this is a pretty small request, so I don't think it's that big of a deal. And taking out a loan through SIB, I understand, would be a big change. But the funds that become available through SB 175, I think, could be a good funding source for this as well. But because of the small amount, I'm not going to vote against it.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. So with that, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
The motion was to fund Mona City, the 2023 road improvements request, as requested, $103,000 grant. First motion by Commissioner Miles, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Treasurer Slaw. Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining. This is not funded. This will be funded in the June 1st funding meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. And congratulations to the applicant from Mona City, Mr. Christensen. Thank you. Next up is item 4-5, Town of Marysville. For $1,580,000. $1,480,000 coming in grant, $100,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5% for a new fire station. Ms. Powers, I'll turn it over to you for a brief overview and to the applicant. Thank you.
The town of Marysville is presenting a funding application for a new fire station and new emergency services building. The request is for a $1,440,000 grant and a $100,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. And in the public hearing, as part of the town's agreement with Paiute County, the town is responsible for housing the EMS vehicles. It was also mentioned that their fire building was built in 1997 and has caught on fire and is in terrible shape. So the restroom is so terrible that female EMTs will not use it. That's an important fact. As part of the CIB request, the town will contribute the land. So my question is, does Marysville actually have the land in their hands? Is it accessed? Is it available? The loan component is mandatory to be considered by the CIB board. That was mentioned in the public hearing minutes, and I don't know that the CIB has a requirement to require you submit the request for loan, but they are, ergo, the $100,000 loan. Paiute County has agreed to provide all the fill dirt and will do all the necessary dirt work that is required for site preparation. The actual final plan for the project could change slightly based on the grant versus loan requirement. They don't know how much money or in kind the town will be required to provide for the project. That was stated in the public hearing minutes. It was a good public hearing. The existing fire station has suffered those two separate fire incidents in the past, and it needs to be replaced. Where were the firemen? Anyway, with that, I turn the time over to the chair and the board and the app.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Looking for our applicant now. From Marysville, we have Bill Davis. Welcome. If the applicant would like to introduce themselves and provide any brief comments and summary for their project, please do so now. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your consideration of this request. By way of introduction, my name is Bill Davis. I'm Marysville Town Board member and the liaison with the fire department. I'd like to have you excuse our mayor, Ann Kennedy, who was unable to attend today because of a work commitment. A brief history of the Marysville Fire Station. The main fire was actually built in the 1970s, and then it was rebuilt after a gasoline fire in 1995, and then rebuilt again after 600 firework mortar shells were ignited by a static electricity accident in 2007. So in order to answer the question, the firefighters were actually in the fire hall working with the fireworks display when that occurred. Fortunately, there were no fatalities. The building was returned to serviceable condition by the work of volunteers, but remains severely damaged. We've managed to store 5 vehicles in a 3-bay heated fire hall, but playing fire engine Tetris makes response time challenging. We've had to expand the apparatus inventory in order to keep up with the summer seasonal demand. We have no way to maintain readiness during the winter when some of the fire equipment must be stored outside and winterized. We have an ongoing MOU with Utah Forestry, Fire, and State Lands to provide wild and fire suppression for Paiute County. The Marysville Fire Station needs to house all of the fire apparatus that we have, plus a minimum of 3 emergency medical response vehicles. We work pretty closely with Ensign Engineering to design a fire station that will provide space for the equipment and training necessary for public safety. We've tried to keep the cost of the project down by multitasking the existing community center to provide a kitchen and training classroom. The latest census shows that Marysville's got 400 residents. Paiute County's only got 1,900 residents total, hence our 6-class county status. And in addition to the permanent residents, Marysville has several large RV parks and a number of smaller parks with a cumulative total of over 300 RV slots. There are also numerous RV parks just across the Sevier County line for whom we also provide emergency services. With its 275 miles of main trail and over 1,000 miles of marked side trails, the Paiute Trail Complex is a nationwide destination for UTV, ATV riders. So spring, summer, and fall, our visitors gas up in the morning and head out over the mountains to the furthest corners of the county. And when trouble occurs and an ATV catches fire or there's a rollover, Marysville Fire Department volunteers and the EMT crews feel an obligation to provide the best emergency response possible for the ATV-UTV riders using the Paiute Trail. Marysvale just simply does not have enough of the tax base to be able to provide the infrastructure for public safety that these visitors require. Our 2022 sales tax was approximately $62,000. Our property tax was approximately $63,000. Transient room tax brought us less than $10,000 in that year. It's worth mentioning that the town of Marysvale has recently completed a water master plan that indicates that we're facing an approximately $6 million upgrade to the municipal water system. And in light of all of the above, we desperately need financial support from the CIB in order to save the lives of our highly valued visitors and to keep our local citizens safe. At this point, we thank you very much for your consideration of our request for funding for a new fire station for the town of Marysvale. And we'd really like to invite you all to come down this summer and ride the trail system with us. And at this point, I would turn it back over to Chair.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Miles.
Just had a couple of questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The shape of the building, you don't see many buildings that are 100 by 100. Was that the most economical size and configuration for construction?
We've actually worked with Ensign and a building construction consultant on that, and considering our need for drive-through bays and the available space that we have, and by the way, Marysvale does own that ground, and it's our community building was originally intended to be extended for fire hall. So this is kind of in keeping with the building and adding on to it rather than trying to build a standalone facility. I don't know. Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I couldn't deduce from your map where it is a drive-through building. On the back side of the property, do you have access for those trucks that will exit through the right side of that picture?
Yes, that is correct. It is a complete pass-through. We have access on both sides to a feeder street to 89 so that it would put our fire and emergency vehicles right out onto 89. And actually looking at the map, I agree with you. It is hard to tell. But the answer to that question is that, yes, we have access on both sides in a complete drive around fashion.
And you've accounted for, it looks like you're going to need some fill there in order to complete that past the apron, the asphalt apron. You've made accommodations for that, I assume.
That is correct. We have a commitment from the Paiute County Commissioners to be able to access the county gravel pit. And we have some really good, clean fill to be able to bring this whole building and the aprons up to the surface that is necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman Davis, would you please convey our compliments to Chief Christensen for getting certification for his crew, firefighters, and getting the four engines in running condition? That is a really tremendous task that he's taken upon himself since his appointment or election. And also thank Karen Christensen for providing such a detailed minutes of the public hearing. It is so refreshing to see people can get involved and then really provide the citizens' concerns and the dialogue that we're not there to hear. Thank you for both and compliments for both. So now you've seen the three proposal by the tools. Are you okay with any one of them to take it back to your community and say that, yes, we got it?
I can take whatever proposal you're willing to work with us back to the community and see where we're at. I'm sorry to be asking for this much grant, but considering our ability to deal with public safety and our ability to repay on this, that is the reason we are interested in as large a grant as we are.
Okay. Thank you for your candor. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Commissioner Bartholomew, please.
Yes. So I'm familiar with the town down there. And as you go through there, they have, I think, one gas station and just a couple restaurant or establishments to stay overnight. And it's basically a summer vacation destination. Their tax rate is not real great. If you're familiar with Paiute County, they have nothing there either. I had a talk with Commissioner Bushman the other day, one of the commissioners there that's also on the ambulance crew, and he indicated to me the dire straits that they are in, and he suggested that he didn't even think that they could pay, come up with the loan that they're asking for.
Commissioner Lytle.
So I've got one kind of important question. Commissioner Bushman also contacted me, and that is, do you have locking gas caps now or better security on your doors?
Yes. The answer to that is that we now have considerably more security. And when we build a new fire hall, we are looking at a coded entry to the whole works. The security at that point was basically the good old boys system. We all just showed up for the fire and the door was unlocked. But we are upgrading as necessary.
So that was kind of half in jest, full in earnest. But the other question I have is, everybody that's certified right now is range fire certified. It sounds like there's a commit, at least according to the minutes, a commitment to try and get some folks structure certified, which will help your rating, I assume. What's the depth of your commitment in terms of that? Is there people in training now for it, or is it something within the year that you hope to have?
So in answer to your question, we've got 14 carded firefighters now. We've got four more guys coming on that are Wildland certified. We've got six guys who are interested in working with the structure class. The problem is that the structure class is almost 250 hours worth of classroom time. A lot of the younger guys especially have a great deal of trouble budgeting that much time and working full time. Old guys like me, and I'm 70, a 70-year-old structural firefighter is probably not an asset to the town, but we're going to do it anyway. So we also are cross-training the firefighters as EMT EMR. So we're wearing a lot of hats. We're trying to up our volunteer skin in the game on this as much as possible.
Well, and just for your information, I'm from Daggett County. We're 950 people and have the same issues with towns of similar size. So I'm very sensitive to what you just spoke of, where STP comes into effect, where it's the same three people in different ways. I'm favorable. I wondered if you could go into a little more depth on the potential funding. the green sticker money, if that bill goes through, or whatever, the tax on the rental ATVs and different things, that's going to help you guys a little bit.
So in order to respond to that, our present burden is we've got another 10 years left on a water bond at $20,000 a year. We've got 20 years left on the town hall at about $10,000 a year. The green sticker tax would really help us a great deal. And anything that we can come up with that we could put back into this project, we certainly will. But once again, I'm really concerned about committing the elderly population that constitutes Marysvale I really hate to walk them out to the end of the plank on this. When what we're really talking about here is that Paiute County is, and I hate to use the word, but it's pretty much the playground for a lot of other areas. We don't have any way to tax those people. That's one of the reasons that we're here looking for this kind of funding. We feel an obligation to keep these people safe, but there's really little or no way to have them help us pay for this. We are truly between a rock and a hard place.
Right. And in our county, we, on a busy weekend, we go from the 950 people that pay the bills to about 30,000 with Flaming Gorge and the North Slope of the Uintah. So we certainly understand the cost of being a popular place for people to come visit. What I'm curious about for you is the ability, and I'm supportive of your project, don't get me wrong, please. The flexibility of TRT funds, as well as that have happened, and I don't know if you've signed into that program to help. But I don't know. You must. There's some motels, but I'm sure most people are passed through. So, and I think you spoke to your TRT funds. The amount is low. I'm just hopeful on when you say carded, you're talking about red cards.
Yes, that is correct. Red cards, wild and fire cards.
So you're the other part, and you have a ladder truck that you're trying to house in that?
We do. Okay. We've got a structure rig. We've got a tactical tender, 1500 gallon tactical tender. We've got a brush rig. And then we have another older structural rig, that's got a big monitor on it. So we're trying, we're not here asking for money for fire trucks because, quite frankly, what we've been doing is building trucks out of parts and pieces. I also run a welding shop as well as ranching. So we've got a hold of our bootstraps. It's just that we can only pull so hard.
Hey, thank you.
And thank you.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know for a fact that there's some of their bush truck and some of their equipment's outside. That's my concern. Being a bordering county, I know we support with them quite often on larger situations and problems that run into that area. My concern is having that equipment ready to rock and roll when they need it. So I'm highly in favor of getting a building they can store and get this equipment inside out of the weather. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown. Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes, I'm going to follow up with another question to Mr. Davis. Can you pay back this $100,000 loan that you're requesting?
That is a great question. I believe that we have the funds to be able to do that and to do it over time. And I believe that we have the capability of doing that without doing anything detrimental to the balance of the service that we provide to the town. But that's a vital question. And we have done some soul searching on just how we needed to go at this. I wish I had a better answer, but the best answer that I can come up with is that I think that we can make this work.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion then that we fund this as requested due to a hardship.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, second by Commissioner Taylor. Commissioner Adams, comments?
Yeah, I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
I would make a motion we fund this $1.58 million in a grant. I just don't see how they can pay back any loan based on
the
information.
What's the point of doing that?
And I will second that. That's to supersede my motion.
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah, so, with an exemption.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's a motion to fund as a grant with financial hardship exemption. Motion made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Comment on the motion, Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, I probably don't even need to comment now that Bruce has made that. I was wondering about the interest rate and everything. We don't need to worry about that now. I'm good with that, and I like this motion way better than the one I seconded.
That sounds good. Seeing no additional comments on the motion, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Thank you. Marysville Town has a funding request for a new fire station. The motion is to fund the $1,540,000 in its entirety as a grant. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes. And just for financial hardship.
Yes. Thank you. Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Hey.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Yes, with the clarification. I think the request amount is 1.58, isn't it?
Correct.
So with that correction, yes, please.
Well, we will make sure that it is what they asked for. And that motion is unanimous with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. I'm going to go ahead and institute a brief recess, bathroom break. Why don't we reconvene at 10 till? So that gives us 7 minutes to stretch our legs, use the restroom, and then we'll be back for item 7, supplemental requests. So I'll see you all in 6.5 minutes. Rolling again. Thank you. So up next on the agenda, we'll reconvene here at 11:49. Item 7, supplemental request, 7-1, Uinta Fire Suppression Special Service District. Request is $1,950,000 with $1,669,000 in grant, $281,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the Tridell Fire Station and Community Center. The original funding from April 29, 2022, was for $3,473,000 coming in grant, $500,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point. So the total with supplemental funding is now $5,423,000, $4,642,000 in grant, $781,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point.
Ms. Powers, I'll turn it over to you for a brief summary, and then will the applicants please introduce themselves and provide any context. Ms. Powers.
Thank you. This was funded in April 29, 2022. And as usual, and this is why we like shovel-ready projects, but I guess they couldn't know or foresee how much more expensive it's going to be. I do believe that they added a little component to this, that they were finishing an upper room, whereas they were not going to, but had deemed it to be prudent at the time of this construction. So this is for the same thing, the same 150 by 75 square foot steel fire station and community center. It's the purchase of this property and the preliminary design for the proposed building, remember, had been borne by Uinta Fire Suppression. This one was the one wherein Uinta Special Service District has awarded them $500,000 from a common district fund because it's part recreation and this is recreation funds, I believe, the $500,000. With that, the motion previously was outside the tool range and they cited a financial hardship. The new request is the same terms. And with that, I turn it over to the chair and board.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. So I see we have the Uinta Fire District online as a panelist. Welcome, gentlemen. Please introduce yourselves and feel free to provide any context or summary to the board. We're having an issue with sound. We can see you, but we can't hear you.
Is everybody unmuted?
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Are you there?
You sound great.
Okay.
We can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, board members, this opportunity. Just to introduce, I'm Jeremy Raymond. I'm the director of the UNR District of Uinta County. Brian Gordon here is our board chair. To my right, I have Marcus Perry. He's our assistant chief, and Lamar Rush is our sunrise area. So we also have fire chief online listening in, but they're not here as well, and that's Tyler McGee. So thank you. I hope you can hear him okay. We were with board a year ago with this project, and we were very fortunate that the money that we were awarded, so we want to thank you for that. A couple of things that we did not anticipate, the rising costs of construction have put upon us, and so that's the reason that back here today we have almost everything. The building has doubled since the original cost estimates were made. Concrete, asphalt, labor, finishes, windows, doors have increased the cost of this project. Another item that delayed us was a deed restriction on the property that we were trying to acquire. The LDS Church was through a lengthy process we thought would take less time. We were able to get the deed restriction lifted, and that just happened about a month ago. So the property is ready to go. Our hope is June 1st or after the funding meeting, June, sometime that first part of June, begin construction with our fire station. We did acquire Sunrise Engineering and a local BHI contractor on the project, so we're communicating with them. We hope our numbers now reflect a good not really solid, but a very, very close estimate on the cost that you see in front of you. So with that, we'll go ahead and open it up to any questions that you may have, and thanks for letting us be here.
Okay, thank you very much. Treasurer Slaw.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for being here, and good to see somebody from my home county. I'm out here represented again, and appreciate all the work that the fire department does. My wife's actually a firefighter as well, and she did it as a volunteer for a number of years before she got on with North Tooele, so I know the important work and how important it is. So a couple of questions. So this is an extension. Is the 1.9, is this all new money then? Is that right?
Yes, correct.
This is in addition to what they've been given before. Okay. So I guess my question is the same question that I ask everybody. If we were to fund you guys at what the tool's telling us is the median, which is 59% grant and 41% loan, it looks like that's a 1% loan, 15 years. The payment comes out to be $57,699. Is that an acceptable payment? Would you guys be able to afford that if that's what the board decided to approve you today?
No, my name's Brian Gorham. I'm the chairman of the district. This is the first project that we've undertaken in the 14 years I've been on the board that we actually have incurred debt. And the way the mineral lease money, which we live and die by, has increased and fallen, unfortunately fallen more than it's increased, we are pretty stuck at if we go with the same ratios, we're looking at $26,000 a year, somewhere around there. That's pretty much the top where we're comfortable with. Unfortunately, we're looking at building a very needed structure in a very underserved part of the county. There aren't a lot of people, but there's a lot of oil infrastructure, and so it's definitely a necessary asset. And it's been on our, I think it's been the number one item on our agenda for about 5 or 6 years. We just haven't had the money to make it happen.
Okay, so I guess my second question is, you're back for a supplemental. I'm assuming it's taken a while to get this project going. Where are you in the project? How soon is the actual construction going to take place? How shovel ready are you guys on this at this point? Are you ready to go? Or
so we are at 60% design, and there will be about another 2 months of design after this. And so, again, we're anticipating the first week of June to begin construction. Again, the biggest hurdle we had to get over was the deed restriction, and that's all been taken care of. We will be ready to go June 1st.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you, Chair. If you're willing to accept a motion, I'd make a motion as requested with the same ratio between grant and loan as the original project was described.
Second the motion.
Okay. Motion made. The fund as requested by Commissioner Lytle, second by Commissioner Adams. Any additional comments on the motion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Thank you. I'm going to clarify the supplemental request was a $1,669,000 grant with a $281,000 loan 30-year at 0.5%. That brings a new total to a $781,000 loan, $4,642,000 grant. Mr. Slaw?
Yeah, go ahead. Excuse me.
Thank you, sir. Yes. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion carries with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. And congratulations to the applicants. Up next, item 7-2, we have the Mountain Green Sewer Improvement District. $6 million in loan, 30 years at 2% for a wastewater treatment plant. The original funding was June 3rd, 2021, was an $8 million loan, 30 years at 2%. The total with supplemental funding is $14 million in loan for 30 years at 2%. Ms. Powers, would you please provide an overview, brief summary for the board, and then we'll turn it over to the applicant.
Thank you. One of the issues on this one, it is a wastewater treatment plant. This is a supplemental request. I've spoken with with Mountain Green, and the $6 million they're requesting today is still short of the $9 million, according to the most recent bid, that they do need in addition to the funding they have. That being said, if we fund it, they still have to get interim financing. If we fund the additional $6 million, which brings our total to $14 million, $12 million, $14 million. it's the same project. It has taken them a little bit of time. They came in originally to us for a $6,429,000 loan between the priority meeting and the funding meeting. They needed additional, so it was increased to $8 million. This is I would request that they explain the delay. This is engineering and design is $1 million. The owner supplied equipment will be $3,500,000. So they are putting some funding into this project. The new total, I know that they rebid it. The bid that I had most recently was $26 million, but they have a new bid. It still makes a very, very large project. So if they will speak to that. Water Quality said that they missed a little bit on the estimate in the last couple of years between the pandemic and supply chain issues, and there was some uncertainty with suppliers, and the bids came in way over, so they rebid it. So that accounts for some of the delay, just by way of the board's knowledge. That's why. And anyway, it is probably should prompt a discussion to make sure that if we do authorize only the $6 million, or perhaps a possibility of getting funding for the supplemental in its entirety from a different source, but that is up to the board. Anyway, the $6 million still leaves them with a little bit of a shortfall. And with that, I turn the time over to the board and the applicant.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. We do have representatives of the application here with us looking for them now. I see their screen, Mountain Green Sewer Improvement District. Please introduce yourselves. I see Cliff, and it looks like another panelist as well. Please introduce yourselves and provide any additional context you feel is appropriate.
Yes, Tom Cliff Linford. I'm the engineer on the project for Mountain Green. This is the same project that we came to you a year ago on. The scope of it has not changed. The delay has been in rebidding the project. We bid the project in its entirety last fall. The bids came in almost double what the engineer's estimate was on the project. There was a number of factors leading to that. One was the pandemic, also the shortage of material supplies. Also, as you guys remember, that this project is because of the phosphorus rule changed by the Water Quality Board. And that rule has actually impacted a number of the contractors. They're doing a number of these type of projects throughout the state. So the availability of contractors to do this work is also been impacted as well. We had pre-qualified 7 bidders to bid on the project. By the time we got the bids, only 2 bid on the original project. And one of them had indicated that they were kind of threw us a number because they weren't sure if they could do the project or not. So we only had 1 bidder on the first go-round on the project. We worked with a low bidder on it to try to modify scope to get the dollar amount down. We were able to reduce it about $2 million, but again, that was not nearly within budget. We elected to go back out to bid. We contacted pretty much every contractor that would be qualified to do this work. We contacted over 15 companies to bid it. We had a good initial pre-bid meeting. Most of them were there. However, again, due to their workloads and the nature of the business, we only got 2 bidders on it the second go around. But the 3 bids that we had, the first bid and the second bid, they were all within the same dollar amount of each other, just a couple million apart. So we feel like this is what the cost of the project is, even though it is significantly more than what we had anticipated. We went back to the Water Quality Board to see if they had additional funding there. They do not have any funds for us. We're asking for $6 million additional from CIB, and we're anticipating going out to the local market for the remainder for the project.
Thank you very much. Chairman Zanotti, would you please lead us off with comments or a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, in light of all the information Cliff provided, and we also remember the history of this project, of course, none of the delays are their problems. Unfortunately, the pandemic, the market, the supply chain. And I also know that they had about close to $9 million in cash and in kind contribution with this project. So I feel comfortable to go back and approve as requested to match the original request they had previously. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Do we have a second? Second for the motion. Mayor Baker, is that a second or a comment?
I'll second that.
Okay. Comments, discussion, motion on the floor. Seeing none, Ms. Powers, all.
Question. I'm not quick enough on my Zoom deal.
Yeah. Commissioner Lytle, please.
Relative to the concerns brought up by Ms. From Candace, did those get answered sufficiently?
About to the,
yes.
The public market to get the remaining amount.
Okay. All right. Thank you. No further comments.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Powers, would you please restate the motion very briefly and then lead us in a roll call vote?
Thank you. The motion is to fund the supplemental request to Mountain Green Wastewater Treatment Plant Supplemental for a $6 million loan, 30-year at 2%, to go along with the previously awarded $8 million, 30 years at 2%, bringing a total of funding to $14 million in loan, 30-year at 2%. Mr. Sloth?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle? Yeah. Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams? Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Thank you to the applicant for being here this morning. And with that, we will move on to item 9, board member discussion and or action items. Item 9-1, which is the what's needed for discussion? CIB board meeting April 6, 2023, Salt Lake City. Just to confirm that date, yes. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. I think we've already
okay.
Occurred there. Item 9-2, the Manila Fire Station transfer was funded in 2000.
Go ahead.
Was funded in 2012. Board approval is being sought for Flaming Gorge Fire, and EMS District is requesting to incorporate the fire station facility under the district and issue a new bond for the balance, which is $277,000. Ms. Powers, I'll turn it over to you for a brief introduction and context, and then to the applicant.
Thank you. The CIB awarded funding
in order to, they're going to accommodate this. In order to accommodate this, the planning board is going to take it over, and they're going to purchase that or incorporate it into the planning board district. And they're going to assume the loan. The board needs to approve that change, and that's why they're here. It really is to change the ownership of the loan.
Anyways, I thought I was doing you a favor by not having my microphone on, but I wasn't. The land was owned by Daggett County, so Daggett County will donate the land now to the district, and the replacement bond will be for the same amount, but will have the land as collateral for the board. The loans that the board puts out always have a collateral. It's a building, the fire station, or whatnot, but now it will be the land. So Flaming Gorge and the EMS district will annex into their district, the town of Manila, and they will assume that loan with the approval of the board to make that change. It isn't any new funding going out. It's just a change of ownership, a change of the entity for which CIB is loaning funds.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Do we have a representative from Manila here with us this morning that wishes to speak? I'm not seeing anyone.
I thought Flaming Gorge would have been here, but they really don't need to speak to it, because if the board approves that transfer, we'll just handle it in-house.
Okay, with that, I'm going to turn the time over to Mr. Mayor Baker.
So I actually have some folks with their hands raised if you want me to promote them.
Oh, yes, please.
Should be a fire district people. Well, the old fire district wouldn't have any money, so.
Okay, I'm seeing Stephanie and Brett Reynolds.
We're just transferring into the district from the town.
Hello. Rob Patterson.
Okay, they're not. So
hello. Hey, this is Brett Reynolds. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yep.
Yeah, Stephanie and I are part of the Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS district, so I think Candace did a good job of doing it. The building and the property would be what would get collateral. I don't know if you have any questions.
And maybe I can add a comment. I'm the attorney for the town. Unfortunately, the mayor of Manila is no longer with us, so I'm kind of filling in here. It's a sudden and tragic loss for the community there. So as Ken has a great job of explaining it, happy to answer any questions. It's going to be a great benefit for both the district, I guess not even both, the county, the district, and the town, because the town has been providing fire protection services through this fire station, both to the town and to portions of the unincorporated area of the county. The only correction, I think the loan amount may be $227,000. I don't know that it really matters. It's, as Candace explained, there's no new funding being requested.
And we are able to pay the loan through our taxes and all that. We've looked at that, and we can continue those loan payments.
Okay. Thank you for that. We are, our heartfelt thoughts and prayers are with you all following the loss of your mayor. Thank you for being here this morning. Chairman Zanotti.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission and blessing, if they can afford it, they can match the term and condition of the previous transfer. I have no problem. I make a motion to transfer.
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Is there a second?
I'll second that. Scott Bartholomew.
Seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Commissioner Lytle.
Still muted.
I think I was muted. Now I'm unmuted. Thank you for the thoughts and condolences and bringing that up as well, Rob. For Mayor Coombs, it was a very surprise deal. Sunday morning, he passed away. I believe it was Sunday. And it has put a shock through the community. Thanks again. One of the things with this project, it will clean up a lot of things relative to the divided ownership between the property and the building, Manila Town and Daggett County. It'll combine everything with the district where the town is being incorporated into the special service district as we speak, if they're not fully in yet. But every intention is for that to go forward. I believe it's in the – someone speak up, but – I think it's down to signing papers, if not there. The only thing I would say is
they'll reissue the bond.
So the reissuance of the bond will be to the district. The district does have a tax built in, so they do have the funding, to your point, Chairman Zanotti. And thank you very much. This is we support the project as the county. If I take my CIB board member hat off for a minute, this is a supportive project. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Lytle, for your comments. So with that, Ms. Powers, if you will please briefly restate the motion, and I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Thank you. The motion from Mr. Zanotti and seconded by Scott Bartholomew is to transfer the bond issued to Manila, the town of Manila, to Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS District. Mr. Slough. Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew, or Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles? Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes. The bond will be transferred to Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS District for the Manila Town Fire Station.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and congratulations to the applicant. Up next is we have 9.3 optional discussion of interest rate. You know, we dug into this pretty good at the top of the agenda. I don't think we need any additional discussion on this at this time unless one of our board members feels inclined to bring it back up for discussion. Seeing none, we will move on to item 9.4, which is the June 1st and 2nd 2023 CIV policy location discussion. Remind me, last year, I think that was before my appointment, where has the board previously held the policy location, or the policy discussion?
If I may, it's been all over the state. It's usually hosted by a county. We have been in Bernal. We've been in Price. We've been in Richfield and a number of other places. We were up at Cedar Breaks once.
Bryce Canyon?
No, Brian Head, Bryce Canyon, Ruby's Inn. last year we did not go anywhere because the board was not established, which is, it's usually in June. So July 1, we had it here, and that's when you started, Chairman Lewis, and we just had it right here in Salt Lake.
I'd be in favor of hosting it somewhere with some elevation since it's
on the Curtis, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
I think we ought to meet at Bear Lake, but because there's no accommodations there, we get our accommodations in Jackson Hole.
Noted.
I would make a substitute motion. That we have it where we can see the whole state and be somewhere towards San Juan County?
Well, we have, I think it's one of the highest peaks in the state is in the LaSalle Mountains in Moab, and we can certainly see Bruce's house from there. So, let's just chew on this. And if anyone has any suggestions, feel free to email me or reach out, and then let's bring it back up in April and try to make a move on something. Does that sound good? I want to do a little bit more research and have a little bit more fun with this. Appreciate that, Commissioner. Thank you for the record. That's an important point, and I'm glad you made that happen. Okay, so with that, I really appreciate everyone's work and time today. Thank you for being patient with us, getting through the weather and the travel, and being willing to accommodate us, you know, via Zoom. And I look forward to seeing everyone in person one month from now in Salt Lake City. So with that, I will adjourn the meeting at 12:24 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for your ringing.